KOMO Seattle.
KOMO FM Oakville.
20 minutes of nonstop news starts now.
Coming up on KOMO.
I'm Bill O'Neill. All of Washington State will remain in phase one of the governor's coronavirus recovery plan for at least another 10 days. Details coming up.
A massive rollout of vaccines is planned in Pierce County. I'm Jeff Pogela with the details.
6 o'clock.
From ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. The swearing-in of a new president usually means high levels of security, but nothing in comparison to what will be in place for Joe Biden's inauguration next week. ABC's Martha Raddatz says it's because of last week's deadly attack on the Capitol.
The nation's capital braced for violence, checkpoints and barricades throughout the city, armed National Guard patrolling Capitol Hill. And with just 4 days before Joe Biden is sworn in, unprecedented shutdowns. And an inaugural rehearsal planned by the Biden team for Sunday has been postponed, according to sources. Among the FBI's top concerns for Inauguration Day, the substantial threat of improvised explosive devices.
Federal safety officials are investigating those who took part in the insurrection to see if they belong on the federal no-fly list. The FBI also says it has almost 300 open cases in connection with the attack.
To those of you who took part in the violence, here's something you should know. Every FBI field office in the country is looking for you.
That's the assistant director in charge, Stephen D'Antuono. A grim global benchmark in the battle against COVID-19. There are now more than 2 million global deaths blamed on the virus. President-elect Biden today reiterating his pledge for a federal response he says will be backed by science.
Joe Biden is trying to take the politics out of wearing a mask.
This is about saving lives. I know it's become a partisan issue, but what a stupid, stupid thing for it to happen.
The president-elect saying he'll mandate mask wearing in every federally controlled operation he can. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
Mr. Biden also doubling down on a promise to vaccinate 100 million Americans in his first 100 days in office. The NRA's filed for bankruptcy, a move expected as it battles criminal charges in New York. It's also moving to Texas. You're listening to ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The KOMO Evening News.
Friday evening, let's underscore that. 6:02 in downtown Seattle, now 48 degrees.
I'm Melissa Jaffe with Rick Van Sice, and here are the top stories from the KOMO 24/7 News Center. All 8 regions of Washington State will remain in phase 1 of Governor Jay Inslee's coronavirus recovery plan, at least for the time being. KOMO's Bill O'Neill explains.
The plan requires each of the state's 8 regions to see a decreasing trend of 10% or more in COVID cases per 100,000 people over a 2-week span in order for them to individually move to phase 2. The COVID-19 test positivity rate must also fall below 10%. New hospitalizations must also decline by 10% over 2 weeks, while intensive care units must have a less than 90% occupancy rate. All regions will continue under phase 1 until at least January 25th. Bill O'Neill, KOMO News.
The feds aren't keeping their promises on coronavirus vaccine supply, according to one local public health officer. KOMO's Ryan Harris has more.
King County Health Officer Dr. Jeff Duchin says he can't speak to word the federal stockpile doesn't exist, as officials claimed. But he says the pace of vaccine delivery hasn't kept up with what was advertised under Operation Warp Speed.
We're not getting as many doses as we anticipated. The doses haven't been increasing each week. We have very little insight into the supply issues at the federal level, but we are ready and willing and very eager to receive whatever doses are available as soon as they can come to us.
Duchin says despite that, they have managed to administer more than 60% of the doses they've received so far. Duchin is also concerned that King County's case numbers have been on a steady rise, and he says with the more transmissible variants likely to become widespread, that'll make the virus even harder to control. Ryan Harris, KOMO News.
Pierce County is stepping up its efforts to distribute COVID vaccines.
The plan is to have at least 3 high-volume drive-through sites.
We're talking about 8 lanes of drive-through clinics with walk-up opportunity available as well.
Emergency Management Director Jody Ferguson says smaller sites and mobile vaccination vans will also be used. However, the current bottleneck is the supply of doses coming from the federal government. Jeff Pogela, KOMO News.
Still to come on KOMO.
I'm Sue Romero. Impassioned public testimony at the first hearing of a police reform bill in Olympia.
KOMO News time 6:04. Traffic every 10 minutes on the 4s from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. Evan Smith with that. And how's it looking, Evan?
Still looking mostly good on the roadways. There is a new accident in South Everett, northbound 5 approaching 128, blocking the right lane, causing a bit of slowing to 164th from there. And Fife in Tacoma on 509 northbound Ringview Drive, just south of Taylor Way. A crash is still fully blocking the northbound lanes, with slowing back to before Alexander Avenue from there. And SeaTac next, still on the shoulder, southbound 5 just after 88th. Most of the slowdown behind that has cleared up, but still causing just a minor bit of a distraction for drivers in that area. Our next report is at 614. I'm Evan Smith, Como Traffic.
And this traffic update, sponsored by Beacon Plumbing, Heating, and Electrical. Call Beacon today and save $50 on all heating and air conditioning. Just call 1-800-FREAKIN and stop freaking. Call Beacon. All right, let's talk about the weather. And meteorologist Abby Iacone with the latest going into the weekend.
Partly cloudy skies in the forecast for western Washington with some scattered pockets of fog into early Saturday. Now, of course, this is most likely for the south sound, the typical suspects, as temps all around the region drop down to the mid to upper 30s. Now, should those lows get closer to the freezing mark, we could be dealing with freezing fog early Saturday. A couple of glimpses of sunshine for your Saturday, but that's about as exciting as it gets in general. Overcast, gray and dry Saturday, a few late showers into the evening and into early Sunday. I'm meteorologist Abby Iacone in the Como Weather Center.
Downtown Seattle, 48 degrees. You're in the middle of 20 minutes of nonstop news on Como at 6:06.
Earlier this week, Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar indicated there would be millions of extra vaccine doses released to the states.
We are releasing the entire supply we have for order by states, rather than holding second doses in physical reserve.
But new reporting in the Washington Post shows there were no doses available in reserve. As a result, states that had been gearing up to expand distribution of the COVID vaccine have no extra doses to give out. In a tweet, the Washington State Health Department says they understand why people may feel the situation is confusing and frustrating. Oregon Governor Kate Brown calls it a deception on a national scale. We've reached out to Health and Human Services for comment.
The State Patrol and National Guard preparing for any possible protests or confrontations at the state capitol this weekend. Here's Como's Charlie Harger with more.
A fence lined with troopers and guard members continues to surround the capitol and nearby buildings. This comes as the FBI warns of possible threats at all 50 state capitals between now and January 20th. State Trooper Chelsea Hodgson tells Como they continue to monitor intelligence coming in.
Well, at this point in time, we don't have any known explicit threats that would indicate details of a time, place, or specific activity in our area.
The FBI highlights Sunday and Inauguration Day as the 2 days to be on the highest alert. Hodgson says they're ready for whatever comes their way. Charlie Harger, Como News.
There is increasing concern for the safety of journalists covering protests at state capitals across the U.S. and in Washington. Packing a gas mask and helmet has become the new normal. It's starting to look just a bit like what foreign correspondents face in the world's conflict zones. This week, the Oregon State Police gave virtual training on what to do if there's a shooting rampage in the state capitol building. Former longtime foreign correspondent Andrew Selsky says there are increasing risks to journalists in America.
Lawmakers in Olympia had their first public hearing on a major police reform bill that would affect Washington's 11,000 police officers. An update now. Here's Como Supermero.
The Criminal Justice Training Commission certifies law enforcement in the state. A focus of House Bill 1082 is on decertifying officers that have shown misconduct. Many who spoke were family members of people who died after interactions with police. Elaine Simons says the officer who killed her foster son should not have been on the job.
In his 11-year career, he is responsible for 3 of 9 killings in Auburn, Washington. To me, that is a serial killer.
Law enforcement agencies opposed the bill, which would also change the makeup of the training commission with fewer police and more private citizens.
More than 70% of the members of the commission would not be experts in or be subject to the rules of and the actions of the commission.
That's Jim McMahon with the Washington Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs. Sue Romero, Como News.
The Washington State Supreme Court says Benton County Sheriff Jerry Hatcher may have committed a felony when he backdated an official document on an internal review of his actions. The court already allowed a recall effort to move forward, but yesterday released a lengthy rebuke of the sheriff's actions. Como's Carlene Johnson reports.
The initial report back in November from the state's high court stated the recall effort against Sheriff Jerry Hatcher could go forward. Now in this 47-page expanded opinion, the court said all eight charges alleged against him were legally and factually sufficient, including tampering with physical evidence and intimidating witnesses. The officers' union has voted no confidence in their sheriff. Alan Harvey is the attorney representing Deputy Jason Erickson, who brought the recall effort. He says the department is united despite the strain of this awkward time.
Through their unity, through the sense of purpose, that they're doing the right thing for the right reason, that they have maintained their professional integrity. And they have gone to work every day, and they're still doing their job.
Sheriff Hatcher denies any wrongdoing, and no criminal charges have been filed against him. Those behind the recall effort have until May to gather signatures. Carlene Johnson, Como News.
Still to come on Como.
I'm Corwin Hake, urging you to buy some music and help an ailing Seattle icon.
The Falcons hire a head coach while the Seahawks look for a play caller. The latest from Como's Bill Swartz at the Beacon Plumbing Sports Desk.
Tennessee Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith is the man the Atlanta Falcons want as the head coach. Former L.A. Chargers head man Anthony Lynn is a new name surfacing as a possible replacement for Brian Schottenheimer as the Seahawks offensive assistant. Lynn is known as a guy who favors a physical run style with explosive pass plays. That certainly meshes with Pete Carroll. NFL playoff division games on tap tomorrow. The L.A. Rams at Green Bay. Buffalo Bills host the Baltimore Ravens. Seattle U-Men's basketball at Red Hawks Gym tonight, taking on Utah Valley. The Washington Huskies are hanging out in L.A. after an embarrassing 95-68 loss at USC.
Good teams, great teams, end up being great defensively, and we're far from that. We've got to get better.
Mike Hopkins' Dogs take on Pac-12 leading UCLA tomorrow afternoon. Hot stove baseball signings for the Seattle Mariners, getting infielder J.P. Crawford, pitcher Rafael Montero, and catcher Tom Murphy locked up for the 2021 season. And The Athletic reports Seattle Sounders in serious talks to loan forward Jordan Morris to Swansea City FC of England's second-tier league. Sports updates at 10 and 40 after the hour. Bill Swartz, Como News.
Well, the U.S. Postal Service is rolling out its Forever Stamp honorees for 2021, including New York Yankees great Lawrence Yogi Berra, the 10-time World Series champion and baseball Hall of Famer, known for his witty quips like "It ain't over till it's over," features the catcher in his gear with his Yankees hat and iconic white pinstripe jersey. He'll be honored along with author Ursula K. Le Guin, artist Amelia Sanchez, the art of tap dance, Sun Science, and the Mallard.
A musician friend to many in Seattle is ailing, and you can help him out. Como's Corwin Hake urges you to buy Richard Peterson's records.
You know Richard. For many years, he played trumpet outside stadium events for your coins and your smiles. But since late last year, Richard has been laid up at Swedish Hospital in Seattle with complications from diabetes.
Richard has an amazing brain. He's a kind, gentle man.
Como Radio morning anchor Greg Hirschholt is a friend from Richard's many studio visits.
As a child, he spent hours listening to the radio and watching TV. He absorbed all the nuances of the music and on the plot lines, memorized a collection of TV and music stings that he bought. And he remembers which episodes of a show those appeared in, going back to the 50s or 60s.
Peterson put that knowledge to work in a series of albums he recorded, starting in the mid-1980s, with the help of local rock personalities like the Young Fresh Fellows. Tom Dyer, founder of Olympia's indie rock label Green Monkey Records, has reissued all of Richard's albums on digital. When you buy them at Green Monkey's Bandcamp site, he says every penny goes to Richard.
The second album.
Corwin Hake, Como News.
Precious melodies, worthless.
From ABC News Tech Trends, Samsung is targeting a new type of smartphone user with its latest S21 line. C. Scott Brown is a senior writer at Android Authority. He says Samsung is trying something new this year.
Last year, they were like, what if we made the phone super expensive and exclusively geared towards power users? And unfortunately, those phones didn't sell well at all. So Samsung is basically doing an about face.
The new Galaxy S21 S S21 Plus and S21 Ultra get an updated design and 5G connectivity. Brown says Samsung spent a lot of time touting its adaptive features too.
If you turn up an app, it's going to have the best refresh rate. If you pull up your camera, it's going to take the best shot. And you don't have to touch anything. You don't have to think about anything.
But in the process, he says Samsung got rid of some notable features.
The negative side of that is that you're alienating the power users, the people who want that control.
With Tech Trends, I'm Michelle Franz in ABC News.
6:14. Time for a check on Como traffic from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. Here's Evan Smith.
Seeing a new accident in Everett, northbound 5 is State Route 526 blocking the carpool lane, causing a minor bit of hesitation right behind that. Northbound 5 in South Everett approaching 128th, an accident's been cleared off to the right shoulder, it appears. And Highway 509 in 5, it's Marine View Drive just south of Taylor Way, still fully blocked due to a collision. The northbound lane's at least blocked, with heavy slowing approaching the area. Traction tires advised over Stevens Pass and White Pass. There's a 1-hour wait for the ferry at the Edmonds Terminal, and the Sounder North line is suspended until Monday due to landslide danger. Our next report is the 624 of Evan Smith, Como traffic.
Partly cloudy night, overnight lows in the 30s and lower 40s. Tomorrow, upper 40s with generally a cloudy day and a little morning fog, but we'll also get some sun breaks too, with a high in the upper 40s, low 50s by Sunday, with rain first thing Sunday morning and then backing off during the day on Sunday. Downtown now, it's 48 degrees, and our Como news time now, 6:15.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The Northwest's only 24-hour news station. Como News 1000, FM 97.7.
With Elisa Jaffe, I'm Rick Van Sice. Our editor is Jeremy Grader.
The University of Washington's coronavirus model is showing a grim future of the pandemic in the U.S. It predicts nearly 567,000 Americans will die from the virus by May 1st. But the number could drop significantly with increased vaccination efforts and universal mask use. The group believes the death toll will peak by the beginning of next month, and some states could be close to herd immunity by May.
Losing Republican gubernatorial candidate Lauren Culp has withdrawn his lawsuit against Secretary of State Kim Wyman that alleged widespread election irregularities and fraud.
Federal court documents give a startling look at the deadly intent of the mob that stormed the Capitol last week.
Charging papers say they wanted to capture and assassinate elected officials. For more, we go to ABC News Washington correspondent Andy Field. These are startling revelations, Andy. What do the documents say? And tell us about the evidence that prosecutors have regarding these deadly intents of that mob.
You know, things have changed just a little bit. In fact, the assassination part, where they said they had strong evidence of this, they actually struck that from the indictment this afternoon when they appeared in court. But they said they're going, mostly because they said they don't want to mislead the court with the evidence they have. They have indications, but they didn't have that solid evidence. They said they're reserving the right to put that in later on. But what they do have is Jacob Chansley. He's the guy that everyone's seen in the hat with the horns and fur. And he was the guy who also got up on the podium in the U.S. Senate, where just moments earlier, Mike Pence, the vice president, was standing. And he had left a note there saying that it's only a matter of time. Justice is coming. Now, there are other indications from law enforcement officials. They haven't actually filed the documents yet, but we've seen people on camera saying that these people must die. We're here to kill them, mentioning Mike Pence, mentioning the House Speaker. So there are now more than 300, or at least 300, open cases. They've made nearly 100 arrests. And we see it happening by the hour. There are all the famous people we've seen now in various positions, the guy carrying the podium, the guy sitting at Nancy Pelosi's desk, the guy in the horns, even the guy who was seen beating a police officer on the ground outside the Capitol with a mob surrounding this guy, beating him with the flagpole with the American flag. He also has been arrested. So there are going to be multiple charges, multiple investigations. And one of the more frightening aspects of this is was this pre-planned? Was there help from the inside? We know that there is a congresswoman from New Jersey, a former Navy pilot, a former federal prosecutor, who says that she saw the most unusual thing the day before, a tour inside the White House being led by the staff, if not members themselves. We haven't gotten clarity on exactly who was leading these tours. But what's unusual is that there have not been tours in the Capitol since COVID because they didn't want to spread this thing. So that immediately raised alarms to her. saying, why are these people being led on tours of the Capitol a day before this massive breach of security happened?
And Andy, as I hear you recount what's being put in these federal court papers, I can't help but think and connect the plot a few months ago to kidnap a governor. Is there some connection there, have they said?
They have not said that in court papers. The question's been asked, and it has not been answered. You know, this is a touchy time for these folks. They want to prosecute these folks and win the prosecution, so they're very careful with what they're saying publicly, only with the facts that they have here. If there is a connection between those folks who did that with Governor Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan and this particular case, we don't know. We know that some of them are associated with some of the same groups, this Boogaloo group and the Proud Boys. By the way, the guy who's supposedly the leader of the Proud Boys is on some social media site now. I think it's called Telegraph, they seem to be getting these messages back and forth. He's warning members of his group not to participate this weekend. He goes, it's a trap to be set up here, and perhaps they're trying to wait for a little bit calmer time so they can do exactly what they did the last time when some of these federal officials in their buildings have their guards let down.
Well, as you mentioned, the story continues to evolve by the minute, it seems. Thank you. That's ABC's Andy Field in Washington, D.C.
Como News Time, 6:20. Time for a Propel Insurance Money Update with Jim Chesko.
Stocks closed out the week on a down note. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 177 points today. The S&P 500 slipped 27. And the NASDAQ Composite lost 114. Those indexes all finished in the red for the week, too. Shares in ExxonMobil today dropped 4.8%. The Wall Street Journal reported that the SEC launched an investigation into the energy giant after an employee filed a whistleblower complaint last fall, alleging the company overstated the value of a key Permian Basin asset. U.S. crude oil prices tumbled today. February crude sliding 2.3% to settle at $52.36 a barrel. That's your money now.
Money news at 20 and 6 and 50 past the hour, and traffic coming right up.
Stay safe, Seattle. Social distancing and masks are important, but so is knowledge. Stay connected. Stay informed on all things COVID from Como News 1000, FM 97.7, and on your smart speaker. This is Como News.